may be seated. We have a video.
Video's not working. Hey, church. Bible tells us in Genesis chapter 1, it said, "Then God said, let us make man in our own image according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds and over the cattle and over all the earth and every creeping thing." God created, verse 27, God created man in his own image, the image of God. He created him male and female. He created them. You go to Psalm 139, and the Bible says this, "For you, God, formed my inward parts. You wove me in my mother's womb. I will give thanks to you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, and my soul knows it very well." Today is a day that has been set aside for us to focus on the sanctity of life. It's Sanctity of Life Sunday. And it's a Sunday for us to go back to the moment where some people had, in our legal system, had decided that it was okay for life to end in the womb. It was okay to make that decision. But what we do as followers of Christ, we live according to the Word of God. We live according to Jesus. And so what we're doing today, right now in this moment for a few minutes, is we're just going to seek God and we're going to pray. And at church, I think we need to pray and ask for forgiveness. I think we need to pray and seek God, and that God would change hearts in our nation. Because the reality is this, the moment that that child is created, that moment that God, he starts knitting that child together in the womb. Amen? Like he does, and God loves that child. He says to Jeremiah, he says, "Before I made you, I knew you." Right? But then we have this argument in our world today that says, well, life begins when it's outside of the womb, or life begins when it can live outside the womb, when at that point happens, or it's only a life whenever the heart beats. The Bible tells us it's a life, and it's a valuable, and it's loved by God. And so us as Christians, man, we need to pray and seek God's heart, that our hearts would change, that our tone would change, that our nation would change and start valuing life. You know, it's been a rough year with deaths, right? Deaths because of COVID, because of a lot of different things, suicide. But the number one killer of people in America is still abortion. And church, that should break our heart. It should break our heart because God loves that child, and so therefore we love that child and we value that child. Now I want to say this. More than likely, someone in this room has been impacted by an abortion. And here's a couple good things to know. Jesus loves you. And repentance and restoration is there for you. Maybe someone in your life has had that happen in their life, and you need to extend that grace to them as well. Church, we have a responsibility to love that life, to value that life, to protect that life. And we can't just be behind a keyboard saying we're pro-life. We can't just vote and be pro-life. We can be pro-life by adopting. We can be pro-life by doing foster care. We can be pro-life by supporting a pregnancy center. Are you with me, church? There's a lot of ways that we can do that. And so, guys, I just want you guys to have that moment with God and pray. And then after a few seconds, I'll pray as well. But let's just take this issue before God and ask Him to help our nation in this area. God, as your people across the nation are praying today, we thank you for a day that's been set aside for us to focus on this. We should focus on it every single day. There's a mother that's scared right now, that's hurting right now, that's worried and thinks their only option is to end that life. There's families that are hurting and broken because of this. We pray, Lord, for us as a church to come alongside these moms and these dads and these families and those that are broken and hurting. God, we need to do more than hold up signs. We need to do more than vote. We need to do more than get behind a keyboard. We need to show with our actions, with our words, with our lives that we care, that we love, that we can protect. Voting is important. Speaking up is important, but living it out is vital. God, we pray, Lord, that you would change the hearts of our nation, of our leaders. God, we've got one president for a few more days, and then we've got another president coming in. And Lord, we pray for President-elect Joe Biden, God, that you would break his heart. And leaders of our Congress, those on our Supreme Court, those that lead throughout our nation, God, we pray, Lord, that you would break their heart for these innocent lives that are lost. God, I pray, Lord, for us as a church, that we would pray for our leaders, we would pray for our community, we would pray for those that we know in our life that are struggling in this area. God, help us stand up for life, help us value life as you've called us to. In Jesus' name, amen. Man, it's hard to imagine we do this in our country, amen. But grateful for a day that we can focus on that. Hey guys, I posted on. I'm just gonna have an awkward transition because I don't know where to go from there. We posted. We've got some shirts left over that are Sanctity of Life. They're 3 large. If anybody wants one that's yours to have, it's a large shirt. Just, what did I say? It's a Who's Your One shirt. Like, who are you praying for that needs to know the gospel? And so we've got some shirts available for you. There's 2 of them sitting back there, and then there's 1 right here. So I'm just going to set this down here, and you guys can have at those because my wife says they have to get out. We already have enough of them. Amen? All right. My wife says amen. All right. Hey, guys, we're just going to dive into the Word, okay? Let's just do that today. But I think that should weigh on our hearts today. I think the sanctity of human life, I think that's an area that we need to focus on, that we need to pursue. A lot of times we have an awesome opportunity in Arizona to give towards organizations, right? Hands of Hope, Arizona Baptist Children's Services, Christian Family Care, those types of things that have stepped up. They work in the trenches, and where your guys' tax dollars for donations can go to that. Are you with me, church? And I think that's a small way we can be involved in that. But I know Hands of Hope and the Arizona Baptist Children's Services, some that we support, have done an amazing job coming alongside these women, these families, and these children. And so I think we should be supportive of them, probably more so than we are. Last week, we began a 4-week study looking at the life of Daniel in a series called Courageous Faith. We live in a world where we need to have courageous faith. Amen? Right? In our first week, in Daniel chapter 1, we saw Daniel and his 3 friends stand firm in their faith. They resisted sin and they honored God with their life. They determined in their heart, I'm not going to dishonor God. I'm not going to sin against God in this area of my life. This week, we're going to look at Daniel chapter 3, and we're really looking at how we can walk through difficulties in our lives, right? Like life, I think I'm going to get an amen on this one. Life has difficulties, amen? I'm telling you, man. Man, it's just like difficulties and storms are a part of life. I'd listen to my boys sometimes, and they'll say, man, I can't wait until we get, and I'm like, no, hang out where you are right now. Enjoy your childhood, right? Difficulties are a part of life, and here's the reality. There are some of you right now in this room or that are listening online that are going through a storm. There are some in this room or listening online that just came out of one, and some of you, maybe you need to hear the words, buckle up, because one's coming. Amen? Like, it's just there. It's because we live in a fallen and broken world. And for us as Jesus followers, when times are great, right, we're to know and follow and trust Jesus, right? When times are just okay or maybe a little rough, right, we're still to follow and trust in Jesus. But when that storm hits, man, we still must follow and trust Jesus. When tough times come, we are often faced with the choice. Do we stand with Christ or do we take the easy road and blend in with the world? I'd say probably most people in this room have had to make that choice. Satan does not want the world to know Jesus. Right? He wants to keep people where they are. Satan has always been about rejecting God, lying, deceiving, and keeping people from hearing the truth of Jesus. And so sometimes difficulties and hardships aren't just things that we're walking through health-wise or job-wise or money-wise or whatever, but sometimes it's with our faith. Right? In countries all around the world, even today, pastors are being killed or thrown into prison for preaching about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Christians all over the world suffer or even lose their lives because they're committed to Jesus Christ. For us, some of us were talking about persecution before church today, but often, you know, sometimes we'll face ridicule or we'll get our fingers pointed at us at school or maybe we lose a job. Some people have actually lost their lives, but here's the thing. Jesus is always worthy of our complete surrender, whether it's a great time, an okay time, or a troubled time. Amen, church? And that's the faith that God is calling us to. Even when it's difficult, He is worthy of us standing for Him no matter what. Because He's Lord, He gave up everything for us. Today, we're going to see three of Daniel's friends live out courageous faith during a difficult time. And so they're going to example for us what it looks like to stand firm, to be courageous, to walk with the Lord no matter the cost, even when we're walking through a difficult time. So Daniel chapter 3 is where we're going to be at today. If you got your devices, your Bibles, go ahead and start turning there. It's in the Old Testament. If you need to use your table of contents, go ahead and do that. But Daniel chapter 3, as you're turning there, I want to recap a little bit of what we looked at last week. In chapter 1, we were introduced to the Babylonian king named Nebuchadnezzar. Say that with me, Nebuchadnezzar, right? He was a worldly, evil, ungodly king. And then we were introduced to a man named Daniel, right? And his three friends, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. We know them as Shadrach, help me out, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, right? And when the king and the Babylonians conquered Jerusalem, they destroyed the city. They came in and they destroyed the city. They grabbed these young men, the best of the best, right? They were voted in high school as the best looking, the most likely to succeed, right? If they had that thing back then, right? He pulls them out of Jerusalem to bring them into the Babylonian culture, to eat their food, to live like they live, to speak their language, and to worship their false gods. Many young men that had been worshiping the one true God, the same God we worship today, were now being forced and brainwashed and being pushed into this new way of life, into a new belief system. But you've got all these young men, even men of like Israelite men, a lot of men that were taken out, but you had four, Daniel and his buddies, that had determined in their heart, we're not going to sin, we're not going to dishonor God. And we looked at how when you're faced with sin or the ways of the world or temptation, how you can stand firm and honor God. And God honored their commitment to them, and due to their commitment to Him, they were given respected positions in the king's palace. Chapter 2, just going to recap it real quick. Basically, we see some two important things happen that will help us with our study today. The first is this: the king had a dream. Right? And it was weighing on him. He knew it was important and he was trying to find out the meaning. Anybody ever have like vivid dreams, right? Where you just wake up and you're like, what in the world was that about? Right? Are you with me? Right? You're like, man, what did that mean? Or more than likely, I'm usually thinking, what in the world did I eat? Right? And so like, but no one could tell the king, but Daniel could. No one could tell the king. And a lot of them didn't want to, because if they gave the king bad news, he could just kill them. Right? But Daniel steps in, and God allowed Daniel to know what the dream of the king meant. And so Daniel interprets this dream for the king. And so when he does this, the king gets all excited, right? Hey, thanks for doing that. And he promotes Daniel, and he gives Daniel all of these kingly gifts and makes Daniel the ruler over the province and a chief officer. And so Daniel says, hey, King Nebi, right? That's what they called each other. They're kind of getting a little closer. He said, King Nebi, I want my buddies, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Can you give them positions of authority too? And so they were given positions, special positions of influence, in that they were ranking administrators. So Daniel and his buddies, right, God used the king to give them these special positions of influence. Wasn't anything they earned. Wasn't anything they deserved. God allowed them to be in that role. I don't think these men and King Nebi were friends, by the way. I was just being silly, just in case we're wondering. But so Daniel interprets this dream, and his buddies, they're placed in these high positions because of it. The second thing we need to know is during that dream, there was mention of something that the king thought, oh, that must be me. And so he created an image of gold made of himself. Does that make sense? Like, so there's this golden image. I believe that he made it of himself. It's not really clear. But he begins to think that he deserved an image for people to bow down and worship. And so you've got these four godly men standing and honoring God while living in a sinful, ungodly place. And then in chapter 3, let's see what the king does. So here's the thing. Guys, this is a long passage. I'm not going to have you guys stand during this whole time. But you guys can watch up on the screen or read in your Bibles. But we're going to read through this whole thing. You guys ready? All right. Amen. Even if you're not, we're doing it. Here we go. Chapter 3, verse 1. Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold, the height of which is 60 cubits and its width 6 cubits. He set it up on the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king sent word to assemble the satraps, the prefects, the governors, the counselors, the treasurers, the judges, the magistrates, and all the rulers of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. So the king has this image made, right? It's covered in gold. He summons all these leaders to come and have this special dedication service, right? And then in verse 3, we see, verse 3 basically says that they all come and dedicate it. Verse 4, then the herald, so the herald is someone that would go throughout all the people and make sure that everybody heard what the king wanted them to hear, right? Right, we might have like Facebook or Fox News or CNN or something today, but then that day they would have a herald that went around proclaiming, and he says this, to you, everybody, the command is given, O peoples, nations, and men of every language, that at the moment you hear the sound of the horn, the flute, the lyre, the trigon, the psaltery, the bagpipe, and all kinds of music, you're to fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. But whoever does not fall down and worship immediately shall immediately be cast into the midst of a furnace of blazing fire. So you got this image built. They make it known to all the people. Hey, when the band plays, right, you stop what you're doing, you bow down, and you worship this man-made idol. And if you don't, man, they skip over like getting a ticket or being thrown in prison. They go straight to the fact that you're going to be thrown into fire. So verse 7, we see the band plays and the people bow down. Verse 8, for this reason, at that time, certain Chaldeans came forward and brought charges against the Jews. They responded and said to Nebuchadnezzar the king, O king, live forever. You, O king, have made a decree that every man who hears the sound of the horn, flute, lyre, trigon, psaltery, bagpipe, and all kinds of music is to fall down and worship the golden image. But whoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast in the midst of a furnace of blazing fire. Verse 12, there are certain Jews whom you have appointed over the administration of the province of Babylon. I think there might be some jealousy right there, right? Namely, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have disregarded you, and they do not serve your gods or worship the golden image which you have set up. Verse 13, then Nebuchadnezzar, in rage and anger, gave orders to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then these men were brought before the king. Nebuchadnezzar responded and said, is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the golden image that I have set up? Basically, he's saying, did you not hear what the herald proclaimed? Did it not make sense to you? Did you not hear about the fire? So he's about to give them a second chance to worship this false god. Verse 15, now if you are ready, at the moment you hear the sound of the horn, flute, lyre, trigon, psaltery, and bagpipe, and all kinds of music, to fall down and worship the image that I have made, very well. But if you do not worship, you will immediately be cast in the midst of the furnace of blazing fire. And what God is there who can deliver you out of my hands? You're about to find out, King Nebi. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to give you an answer concerning this matter. They're basically saying this, we don't need another chance, sir king, and we don't even need to discuss it. Verse 17, if it be so, if you're going to throw us in this fire, if that happens, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the furnace of blazing fire, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But even if he does not, if God chooses not to deliver us from this moment, let it be known to you, O king, that we are not going to serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar was filled with wrath, and his facial expression was altered towards Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Anybody else in here like body language? I have been wondering all week what that face looked like. Amen? Right? So he's all upset, and he answered, by giving orders to heat the furnace seven times more than it was usually heated. He commanded certain valiant warriors. That word valiant warriors means that they're the best, right? They're the toughest. They're the best. Who were in his army to tie up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in order to cast them into the furnace of blazing fire. Then these men were tied up in their trousers, their coats, their caps, and their clothes, and were cast in the midst of furnace of blazing fire. For this reason, because the king's command was urgent and the furnace had been made extremely hot, the flame of the fire slew those men who carried up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Did you guys see that, guys? The king is so angry that these guys defied him and they would not dishonor the one true God. He cranks up that heat, right? He sends in his best soldiers to throw them in. It's so hot, as they're pushing them in, they burn to death. Like, this is crazy. Verse 23, but these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell into the midst of the fire, a blazing fire, still tied up. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astounded and stood up and said, with haste he said to his high officials, was it not three men we cast bound in the midst of the fire? He's saying, whoa, guys, hold up. Like, look what's going on here. They replied to the king, certainly, O king. He said, look, I see four men loosed and walked about in the midst of the fire without harm, and the appearance of the fourth is like a son of the gods. Then Nebuchadnezzar came too near to the door, probably not too close, of the furnace of blazing fire. He responded and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, come out, your servants, you servants of the Most High God, and come here. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the midst of the fire. The satraps, the prefects, the governors, and the king's high officials gathered around and saw in regard to these men that had the fire had no effect on their bodies of these men, nor was the hair on their heads singed, nor were their trousers damaged, nor had the smell of fire even come upon them. He's saying they don't even smell like smoke. Jessica and I cannot sit in our backyard and roast, you know, hot dogs or s'mores without smelling like smoke. Amen? Right? But they're thrown in the midst of it and there's no smell. Verse 28, Nebuchadnezzar responded and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who sent his angels and delivered his servants and put their trust in him, violating the king's command and yielding up their bodies as to not serve or worship any god except their own god. Therefore, I make a decree that any people, nation, or tongue that speaks anything offensive against the king or against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be torn from limb to limb. He gave up on the furnace idea, didn't he? Right? He's got another horrible idea for punishment. And their house is reduced to a rubbish heap, inasmuch as there is no other God who is able to deliver in this way. Then the king caused Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to prosper in the province of Babylon. Amen. You're dismissed. Just kidding, man. We don't need to finish, but we're going to, all right? What a story. What a courageous faith, and what an amazing God we serve. Based off what we just read, I want us to see some truths to know and live by when we face difficult moments. What a timely message, church. We all need to hear it, our nation, our people, our community online. Man, we need to hear this as we face difficult times. There are difficulties all around us. And it's not all COVID related. Some of it's sin related. Some of it's health related, some of it's job related, some of it is so very personal to you. Maybe it's within you, maybe it's in your family, maybe it's in your homes, difficulties, hardships, all around. And so let's look at these truths to know and live out when these times come, or maybe as you're in the moment right now. Guys, when difficult times come, the first truth we see here is this: do not walk alone. In our culture, and in our lives, when trials come, when difficulties happen, our first response is often to pull back, to isolate and withdraw. Or maybe we weren't surrounded by godly friends in the first place, and so when these times come, there's no one with you. But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego show us the opposite here. These men are mentioned 14 times in the Bible. And every single time they're mentioned, they are mentioned together. They stand together. They're thrown in the fire together. They speak together. At Authentic Life Church, we say this all the time. We are not meant to do life alone. That's not just something we want to put on a t-shirt. It is how God made us, right? We were meant to do life first with God, to walk with him, and second, to walk with each other. And we see it all throughout the Word of God, right? That we're meant to walk with God and do life with one another. That's how you and I were created. And if we're walking outside of that, we're walking against what God created us. Are you with me, church? That's just the reality. Look what happens here. You have these three men that are now in a tough situation, right? To say the least. right? Their life was on the line, and together they stood for God instead of bowing and worshiping a false god. And then when they're brought before the king, he says, I'll give you one more chance. When the band plays, you guys bow down and worship, and we'll call it good. But what do they do? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to the king. It doesn't say if they said it in unison or if there's a spokesperson, but they said together, O Nebuchadnezzar, we don't need to give you an answer concerning this matter. If it be so, if you're going to do this to us, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us. But even if he does not, verse 18, let it be known to you, O king, that we are not going to serve your gods or worship the golden image that you've set up. That's unity, church. They walked together in unity with the Lord. I remember early in our marriage where God surrounded Jessica and I with good, godly friends. Are you with me, church? You guys have that? Right? Just good, godly friends. We were hung around all together, right? Man, we were all around the same age, but we were all in different phases of life. It was crazy. But we walked through life together. When tough times came, we were there for one another. We walked through it. We helped. We encouraged. We pointed each other to Christ, and we remain friends to this day. Anybody have friends like that? Right? It's just good, man. We also saw this type of unity in one of our life groups. Life groups are a big deal, church, by the way, just so you know. But there was a difficult time for one of our families, right? But God used that life group to encourage and pray and support and provide for them, right? Life groups aren't just a program at Authentic Life Church. It's not. It's to live out the community that God calls us to be in, right? To be in a community that studies and prays and supports one another. We're not meant to do life alone apart from one another. But here we see this. Three guys, they knew each other. They knew each other's hearts. Right? They could finish each other's sentences. Or as the song says, sandwiches, right? Right? They did life together. They loved one another. They stood together. They walked with God together. Let me tell you why this is so vital and so important. We're going to read from 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. Listen to what Peter says in this passage. He says, your adversary, guess who he's talking to? He's talking to us. The enemy. The devil is prowling around like a roaring lion looking for anyone he can devour. There's a picture being painted here, church. Think about a zebra or a gazelle or some other kind of pack animal that's meant to do life together. They're to walk together. They're to eat together. They're to drink together. They're to run together. They're to all this stuff, right? Just to do it together, to protect each other. Get that picture in your mind. Now picture that hungry lion sitting and waiting and prowling just out of sight. What's that lion waiting for? Right? Now, he may be hungry enough. He's just going to attack no matter what. But you watch the Discovery Channel, right? And you see them sit and wait patiently for the injured animal or the one that's fallen behind or maybe for that young one that doesn't know what he's doing, kind of runs off, or that less mature animal and the weaker one that runs off and wanders off on their own without an older or stronger or more mature animal with them. Here's the thing, in that pack, it's important for that animal not to be alone. Because when the lion is near, things are going to get tough. It's important for you and me to do life as we were intended, to walk with someone else that loves you and that will stand with you and who is pursuing God with you. And so when life gets tough, man, we are not to be alone. Amen, church? We're not to be alone. Listen, guys, the Bible tells us that we, right here at Authentic Life Church, are a family. That's what the Bible says. We are a family. You don't like it? I'm sorry, right? We're family. Like, you're stuck with me. A family that loves each other. A family that is there to pray and support and protect and encourage, right? As we walk with Jesus together. Here's the thing. Christians that see the church as only a weekend event. Christians that are not part of the church family. Christians, that's what... People that are not with the body of Christ are Christians that are not walking as God designed. It's just true. Because we were created by God to do life together. And there's a reason for that. And here's the reality. We can't do it alone. Can't do it alone. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they walked with God together. And when they needed to take a stand, guess what they did? They took that stand together. And when they trusted God together. And when they said, our God is able to deliver us, O King, right? They said that together. And when they said, even if he doesn't, O King, we will still not turn from him. They said it together. When we go through tough times, church, hear me clearly, do not walk alone. If you're walking alone through a hard time right now, I mean, I'm telling you, get on your knees and ask God, who can I reach out to in my church family that can help me through this? We're not meant to walk alone. If you're not walking through a hard time, find that someone that will walk through that hard time with you, because it's coming. It's coming. The second truth is this: when times are difficult, know the truth about God. Knowing the truth about God comes from knowing God. Amen. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they knew about God. They worshiped God. They read about God. They experienced God at work in their life. And so in chapter 1, when the king says, you have to honor our false gods by eating this food devoted or dedicated to these false gods, because they knew God, they said, we can't do that. And here, when their lives are on the line, when they were told, bow down and worship these false gods, they stood for the one true God because they knew him, right? They knew God. They knew he was worth standing for. But they also knew the truths about God. Sometimes when we're walking through hard times, we don't know God. We don't know the truths about God. And so we struggle with why we're struggling in the first place, right? In Psalm 63, King David, a man appointed by God, right? Anointed by God to be the king. And he's being chased down by his very own son who's trying to take his life and take his throne. And David is fleeing in the desert. We live in the desert, right? I don't want to be stuck out there, but sometimes we're in that desert moment. And he's in the desert, but he knew the truth about God because he'd been walking with God. He knew the truth about God. He knew God was good. He knew he was faithful. He knew that God was all he needed. He knew that God so loved him. And so in that moment when he's running for his life and doesn't have a lot to eat or drink, right, even in his most difficult moment, he was able to say, my lips, God, will glorify you because your faithful love is better than life. He knew the truth about God in the midst of a difficult time. David had nothing else to cling to, but guess what? The truth about God is God was good enough for him. Many times when you're walking through tough times, Jesus is all you have to cling to. And if you know him, know he's enough. These three guys, they walked with God. They knew him. And what there are three things I want us to see that they knew about God. Here are three things that you and I need to know about God as we walk through tough times. Number one is this: they knew it, and we must know that he is able. Know that he is able. These men are faced with a life and death situation. They're facing a difficult moment. If you don't bow down and worship, then I'm going to take your life. And he says, and what God can deliver you from my hands? You know what they knew about God? They knew God was able. Verse 17, if it be so, if you're going to do this, Sir King, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the furnace of blazing fire, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O King. We need to know, church, that our God is able. When Jessica and I were called by God to come and plant this church a few years back, 6 years last week, amen? Man, that's super awesome. But one of the things that we knew is we can't do this. There's no way in the world we can come plant a church with the crazy Tucsonians that I'm now a part of, right? Y'all know we're crazy, okay? But you know what? We knew God was able. Ephesians 3:20 reminded us of that, right? That God is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we could ever ask or think. There is nothing, not even in your wildest dreams, that you could think of that God is not able to do. Say that with me, church. God is able. Let's say that. God is able. He's able. He's able. We follow the God above all others. He is the ruler and creator over all. He is always able. He's never not able. You may be facing a situation, let's get personal. I've been here, and you're thinking there's no way out. You're thinking there's no way I'm getting through this. You're saying I can't do this anymore, I can't take it, and it may be true for you in that moment. It may be true that there's no way out, there's no answers, there's no way you can get through it, there's no way you can take anymore. Don't raise your hand, but has anybody ever been there? But God is able. God's able. Believe it. Know that is who God is. He is always able. So to know the truth about God is to know that he is able. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they knew there was no way out for them. The best soldiers were surrounding them. The fire's burning before them, but they knew God, and they knew he was able. Number two, know his promises. When we're in tough times, if you don't know the promises of God, how do you cling to them? Amen, right? So Jesus, let me tell you some promises about God. Are you ready? Let me tell you some promises about Jesus. Jesus promises never to leave you nor forsake you. He promises that if you place your faith and your trust and call on him to save you, he will. He promises that. He promises to give you wisdom if you ask. He promises to forgive you of that sin. He promises if you know him and you are saved, he promises an eternal home with him, right? where there's no more tears, no more pain, no more anxiety, no more depression, no more sorrow, no more loss, no more disease. As you go through difficult times, know the promises of God. Know that He loves you. Know that He's good and faithful. Know that He is the good shepherd and that He hears you. Know that He is the God that loves you and He is better than life itself. Pastor, how do we know the promises of God? Be in the Word. Be in the Word of God. Spend time with God. Intentionally pursue that. As I'm getting to know my wife, as we were dating, well, I'm still getting to know her. Amen, right? But you should, man. Keep going your wife, right? It's biblical. But as we're dating, right, how do I get to know her? How do I know the truths about her? How do I know this? Well, I ask her. I spend time with her, right? Are you with me? We spend time with God so that we can know Him and know His promises. These three guys, they knew God. They knew His promises. I want you guys to hear something really cool. 200 years before this furnace moment, check out Isaiah 43:1-3. Promises of God, about God's people being in captivity. You ready? Now this is what the Lord says, Isaiah says, the one who created you, Jacob, and the one who formed you, Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. Here we go. When you pass through the waters, I'll be with you, and the rivers will not overwhelm you. Are you ready? When you walk through the fire, you will not be scorched, and the flame will not burn you, for I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, and your Savior. God was talking about a difficult and perilous times that His people would face, saying, I'm going to be with you. And number three is this, God is know the truth about God, know His plan. Know His plan. Know His promises. They know His promises. I'm going to tell you what, as these men are facing that flame, I bet that passage is on their mind. But they also knew His plan. Verse 17, our God is able to deliver us. Verse 18, but even if He does not, let it be known to you, O king, that we're not going to serve your gods or worship the golden image. It's probably the toughest one, I think. They knew God was at work and that He was in control and that He was sovereign over all. They knew that God's plan was bigger than this moment. It was bigger than just their life. We often get stuck in the midst of our life, which makes sense because it's what we know. But when we know God and we know that He's able and we know His promises, then we begin to see things from a different viewpoint, from His viewpoint. We begin to see the bigger picture. We see things with eternity in mind. We usually see life in terms of 70, 80, 90, 100 years. But God's the God of eternity. Last year at this point, you guys prayed for a friend of mine named Rachel that lost her battle with cancer. And I went and looked up something that she had said last year before she passed away. And she was telling her friend, God promised a miracle. God promised to rescue me and to heal me. It may not happen in this life, but it's going to happen. You better believe it. And she spent the rest of her days telling people about Jesus. She started seeing things through the perspective of eternity and through God's eyes. These guys were able to stand before the fire saying, God will use this. God has a bigger plan. God will be glorified. We may not be able to see it, but we need to know that God's eternal plan is bigger and better than ours. Sometimes, let's just get an amen on this one. Sometimes it would just be helpful if we said, God, let us know what's happening. We'll be better at this, right? But it's better than ours. And so we can say, God, you are able to deliver me from this. Here's the thing. We see two statements of faith here. Our God is able. Woo! Yeah, let's wear that t-shirt. But even if He doesn't, I'm still going to follow Him. I don't see a lot of those t-shirts. God, you're able to deliver from this, but even if you don't, I still trust you. I still walk with you. I won't turn from you. You're able. You're faithful in your promises, and you have a plan. When you face difficulties, truth number three is this. Know Jesus is with you. When Jesus was born, His name was Emmanuel, which means what, church? God with us. That's who He is. He can't be anything but that. after he died and rose again, he's about to go be with the Father in heaven. He promised to those that know Jesus and that follow Jesus that he would be with us even to the end of the age. You are, whatever you're walking through right now or going to walk through or just walk through, you're not doing it alone. Jesus is with you. If you don't know Jesus, here's the reality. He wants to walk with you. He gave his life to walk with you. He wants that for you. But if we know Jesus, we're not walking alone. Look at verse 24. These men were bound and they're thrown into, my watch is telling me to calm down a little bit. I don't know. We'll see how that works. These men were bound and thrown into fire. And then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astounded and stood up in haste. He freaks out, right? He says to his high officials, was it not three men we cast in the midst of the fire? They replied to the king, certainly, O king. He said, look, I see how many, church? I see four men. Y'all got to get excited, okay? Church, he says this, look, I see four men loosed and walking about in the midst of the fire without harm. And the appearance of the fourth is like a son of the gods. The king is losing his mind, right? How many did we throw in there? He said, look, I see four men and the fourth is like a son of the gods. The king was basically saying there's a heavenly being in there with them. Some believe this was an angel. Many also believe, based on this passages, also other passages and the beginning of Revelation, that this is in fact Jesus himself. Based off of what we see here and other references in Scripture, I too believe this is Jesus standing in the fire with these men. This wasn't just a heavenly being. This isn't some kind of false god. This is an appearance of Jesus. Church, Jesus is with you. He can stand in the fire. He can stand in any of our junk. Amen? He's with you no matter where you are or what you're going through, on the mountaintop or especially in the valley. He's with you while you're walking through the fire. He's with you as you walk through the waves. He's still with you even if there's sin in your life. He's with you when you are in the deepest valley. When we walk through tough stuff, don't forget it, church. Be surrounded by people that love God, know who God is, and don't forget this, that Jesus is with you. Say that with me, church. Jesus is with me. Let's say it again. Jesus is with me. Man, I like this. You all are like engaging today. This just blesses my little heart. And that leads us to our last truth. I had to get Southern. I'm not even Southern. I'm from Kansas City, but we got it. Here's another truth to know this morning. When times are difficult, remember others are watching. Guys, when the band begins to play and everyone else bowed and worshiped this false god, people watched as these three men stood to honor God. When they were given one more chance before the king to turn against God and worship false gods, leaders and the king watched as they had courageous faith for God. When they said, our God is able, we're not bowing to your false gods, others were watching. As they were thrown into the fire, many others, except a few of them that got burned, stood there in awe as they were walking around in there with Jesus. They were walking. When they came out of that fire and there wasn't an ounce of fire or smoke or anything on them, many others stood there in awe as they came out of that flame. People were watching. When you walk through tough times, your children, your grandchildren, your family is watching. Your spouse is watching. Your friends are watching. Your neighbors are watching. Your coworkers are watching. Non-Christians all around you are seeing you and watching you. You know what they're doing? They want to see if Jesus is real. They want to see if you're really authentic. They're watching to see if we truly believe that our God is able and that we will stand for and with him. Our lives, especially during the moments of difficulties, can point to the world around us, point them to Jesus, to the God that loves him, to the Savior of the world. This isn't in your notes, but it's here, right? This final one, just put this somewhere on your notes. Write it on your hands if you don't have room. Except my kids. God deserves all the glory. God deserves all the glory. In verse 28 through 30, we don't have time to read through all of that, but all the attention, it wasn't no longer on these three men. The king himself brought attention to their God, the one that's able. When times are difficult, do not walk alone. When times are difficult, know the truth about God. Know that he's able. When times are difficult, know that Jesus is with you. And when times are difficult, remember others are watching. Let's pray, church. Father, we love you. And God, we just come before you in awe of you, of who you are, of your love for us, of your grace, of your mercy, of your forgiveness, of the sacrifice Jesus made, what he went through for us, the fact that he rose again, the fact that Jesus is in fact God. We are in awe of you. God, there is no fire, no wave, no trouble, no valley that is too big for you. You can deliver us through whatever, from whatever it is that we're going through. But even if you don't, God, give us the faith that say, I'm not going to dishonor my God. God, a lot of times as the pastor, I get to walk through tough times with people. There are people in our church right now that are going through a difficult time. You're able. You're there. You're able. God, help us be a church family that says, I need help, or I'm here to help. Help us be a church family that walks with God together, that loves one another together, that values the unity and being together so much that we just do whatever we can to be together and to love one another. Because God, times are going to get tough, and you gave us each other to walk through it. Most importantly, you gave us Jesus. God, I lift up our church to you right now. People that are walking through hard times, people that just got out of them, people that are about to. Help them know these truths. Help us love well with them during that time. God, if someone's here today that doesn't know Jesus, maybe someone online that says, I'm walking through a really hard time and I just saw the post that says, how do we get through tough times? God, if they're listening today, it's because you want them to listen. And so, God, we pray, Lord, today that you would let them know that you're the answer. You're the only one that's able. You're the only one that can heal. You're the only one that can help. You're the only one that can help them get through and to get them through. You're there. God, we pray, Lord, that they would call on you to save them. You tell us in your word, whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And so, God, we pray, Lord, today, if there's someone here in our service or someone online that says, man, this is what I needed to hear today, you already knew that. And so, God, we pray, Lord, you would save them today. Help them call on you to save them from their sins and to call you Lord of their life. God, in this moment that we're going to have together, speak to us individually and together as a church. In Jesus' name, church, with your eyes closed, just have that moment with God. And here, I want to do this. Is there anybody in here? Okay, everybody keep your eyes closed for me, please. Is there anybody in here that would say this? Pastor, I could use prayer. I'm going through a difficult time right now. Be a lot of different things. Anybody in here say, I'm going through a difficult time. I'm going through a tough time. I got big decisions coming up. Whatever it may be. Anybody in here to say, man, I could use you to pray for me during this time? Thank you. Thank you. If you're online today, send in that connection card and let us know. We need prayer. I'm going through this. But what is God telling you right now? Spend that time with God. And then if you're listening today, it's the only one I want listening right now is if you don't know Jesus, if you've not been saved, Jesus came to rescue you because he loves you. In fact, he so loved you. And if you're here today or you're listening online and said, I don't know Jesus, I've not been saved, what in the world are we waiting on? The Bible tells us that if we confess Jesus as Lord, he's in charge, he's ruler, he's over all, and we know that God raised him from the dead, meaning we know he died for our sins, he was buried, and he rose again for you so that you could be forgiven and spend eternity with him in heaven so that this world doesn't look so bad anymore because you know for eternity we're going to be with Jesus. If you're here today or you're online and said, I don't know Jesus, but I want to surrender to him right now, would you lift your hand up and look me in my eyes? If you're online, fill out that connection card. That will come to my email, and I'll contact you today. Email me at jeff@authenticlifeaz.com. Goodness, text me. I don't really care. I want to talk to you about Jesus. Father, we need these moments where we can pause and know that you're good. Know that you're able. Know that you're with us. Know that you gave us each other to walk through life with. God, those that lifted up their hands and said, man, I'm just going through a tough time, whatever it may be. If they need someone to reach out to them, let us know, God. If they need to reach out to someone, lay that on their heart. God, but we lift them up to you. We pray, Lord, you'd provide for them during that moment, that you would lead them, that you would give them all the wisdom and direction that they need. Maybe it's healing, God. We pray, Lord, that you would heal them, God. We pray, God, for whatever it is, that you would meet them there and provide for them because you're able. But God, even if that doesn't happen, we pray, Lord, that they would still stand firm with you. God, be glorified in this last song as we praise and worship you and make much of Jesus, the only one that is worthy. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. You can stand with us as we sing.